So he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now, these are the apostles. After he has been crucified, buried, and come back from the dead, and they have been told by other people in their circles, and his mom and different people had come to them and said, "He's alive. I saw him alive. I had an encounter with him." They did not believe. Now, just back up for a second. This is the first time the gospel was really shared. What is the gospel? Jesus was crucified for our sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. Not just that he was crucified, but that he also rose from the dead. He defeated death. Now, there were individuals that had encountered him and come back and told the 11, and they didn't believe. I never saw this before. It really shocked me. It was like, whoa, he rebuked their unbelief and they're hardening their heart. So it says, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And the signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And in verse 20 it says, "And they went out and preached where the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. So they got a rebuke, and then he told them in red letters here what to do. Go and preach the gospel, heal the sick, you know, do all the things. These signs will follow those who believe. These signs. So my question is this. I had to ask myself, are these signs following me? Because I'm thinking like the disciples sitting here getting rebuked. Are these signs following me? Because what they were doing is they weren't going out doing it. They weren't. Yes, there was unbelief there that he had risen from the dead that they had heard, but they also were not going out doing what they had been doing with him for years. They had walked with him daily for years. They followed him everywhere he went. They saw him feed the thousands. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him give blind sight. You know, all of those things. They'd seen him heal leprosy. And so what he said to them is, he said, "Go now and preach the gospel to every creature." Now to me, I'm thinking, okay, so if there's some, you know, if the person is not listening, I'll preach to the dog. You know, let's just get the gospel out. Every creature. He's just encouraging them, get out there and share the gospel. Share the good news. What you have heard and seen and experienced, go and share it. Go preach the gospel. So what were they not doing? First of all, there was unbelief. He said in the rebuke, as part of the rebuke, these signs will follow those who believe. Because those who believe will do the preaching of the gospel or sharing of the gospel. We will get out there and do something with what God's given us. And preaching, let me tell you something. Preaching is not always this right here. because our actions, the things that we do to help people, how we treat people, how we talk to people, how we react to people, all of those things are a factor. Our life is a gospel preaching message. How we live. Are we like Him? Are we reacting the way He would? Are we kind? Are we loving? Are we gentle? Are we doing things that we should be doing? Do we rebuke when rebuke is needed, and do we do it correctly? Because you can do it in anger and it's wrong, and you can do it correctly. So are we doing things the right way, the way that God would want us to do them? So the disciples got rebuked because they didn't believe and because they weren't out there doing the stuff. They were huddled together, sitting at the table. They had heard that He'd risen from the dead. And He came to them and He said, get out there and go and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs will follow those who believe. Why? Because those who believe are going. And I'm not just talking about... You know, I had this conversation this week with someone. And it always bothers me when I hear this. And I've heard this here more than I've ever heard it anywhere in my life. But it's probably just because I've been here for a long time. And it's an argument that really bothers Paul and I both. It is a statement. And the statement was made, well, why are you going to Africa? And why are you going to Mexico? And why are you, you know, what about the people here? What about this? Well, we go here too. We've gone here. We are going here. We will continue to go here. We built a place to go and people to come so that we could go to them. We are doing that. That was my response. Because it always bothers me because people think, well, why are you spending all that money doing that? Because He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, everywhere. And another place it says, go to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I want to obey God. I don't want to be, you know, in the 11, they're getting rebuked, and they get up and they go. They received it. Like, yeah, okay, hey, you are, you just got to picture that for a minute. I mean, they had heard He was alive, and He was in a resurrected body. I mean, this guy's been buried. They saw Him crucified and hung on a cross, the gruesome stuff that went on. And then He's standing in front of them, and the first thing He does is rebuke them. I'm sorry, but you got my attention. What did I do? And what do I need to do? I'm listening. And that's exactly what they did. They got up and they went and they did exactly what He said. They gave their lives for the kingdom of heaven and for the gospel. And going is not just going overseas. It is going here as well. It is both. That was my response. It is both. If I'm not going here, then it's good to go over there, but it's not right. It's an injustice, I think, if we're not doing both. Or we could just do here and never go there. But let me say this. Not everyone is called to travel and go overseas. But everyone is called to be a part of it. Some of us send people. Some of us support missionaries. Some of us give to what's being done. All of that stuff is being a part of going. That is going just as much as physically going. When I physically go somewhere, when I sow my hard-earned money and my time or my prayer into something that is being done on the earth for the kingdom of God, that is going too. I can go somewhere in the world without ever leaving my living room. The minute I enter into prayer and I pray in the Holy Ghost, I can go to anywhere in the world. You can go to anywhere in the world. Because you are interceding, you are stepping in, and you are praying for things. You're praying for missionaries, for Christians, for the lost, for whatever. And that is going to, because it's not doing nothing. It is easy to get in a place where we get into routines and, kind of like what Jamie was sharing during worship, we're distracted in a million different places and all these things. And especially nowadays when the cell phones distract so much of our attention. I got to share something. I've been on these two trips so far. And one of the things that the guy born in the 80s. I'm still old school in some things. I don't know why. It bothers me when I'm in a situation or a place and there's like a time where people are talking and we're in a group, or if we're in a church service or whatever, and I see somebody on their phone. Or I'm just sitting beside someone and we're spending time together and I see them on their phone. And I know sometimes I do it because I'm having to do something. But when it's done and like you were saying, playing a game or getting on an app or whatever, it bothers me. And these trips I went on, even in Africa, in the poor nation that is extremely poor, they had cell phones. They pulled them out and were doing stuff and sending texts and playing games. And I'm like, is this the mark of the beast? I mean, come on. Talk about taking your attention. I mean, I did not expect to see that in Africa.
Really?
Mexico, kind of, but not Africa. And there is just so much time, even on the mission field, that I saw spent on phones and not doing bad things. Some people were using it for the Bible, some people were playing games, but it doesn't matter. Don't allow things to distract you and distract me. And just like Jamie was encouraging during worship, that was a word, because those things can pull you and keep you busy and all distracted so that you're not sharing the gospel, so that you're not praying for that person when you need to pray, so that you're not aware of that moment that happens. See, there are moments when there are opportunities that are from the kingdom of God, that are heavenly opportunities, when we're in the presence of a person and they need God. And we are the ones that have him in us, and we're sitting there. And if we miss that moment, they got to wait for another moment. And that moment, we don't want to miss, because that moment could be the moment that we lay hands on them and pray for them. Hey, can I pray for you? And we lay hands on them and pray for them, and they're healed. Or that moment could be the moment that we share our testimony with them and see them saved. And so those things, they're very important. And so like the disciples, then they were rebuked and then they got up and like, okay, yeah, I got it. And they went out and they preached the gospel. I want you to look at Acts 28 and verse 1. Because where this is actually, this is just fast forwarding in time. But there was quite a bit of time between the end of Mark, where, Jesus was resurrected, he came back, and then he ascended to God the Father. He gave them this charge that was actually even before they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And then Acts, toward the end of Acts, in Acts 28, where this happens. And so, he basically has told them then to go and preach the gospel, and these signs shall follow those who believe. So remember that. Because that's exactly what happens here with the Apostle Paul, who was not even in the room when that rebuke was given. So the disciples were rebuked. They were given a charge. They were given a command. They went out and they did it. And it was replicated. It is still being replicated today in the lives of people. So in verse 1 it says, now this is Paul, and he was being taken to Rome in a ship as a prisoner, and it was a prisoner ship, or there were prisoners on it, and they were being taken to Rome to come before Caesar, and Paul especially was going to be before him. And Paul had warned them actually not to go a certain route or at a certain time, and they didn't listen. So, you know, then he stands up and says, you know, because you didn't listen, and there's not going to, you know, take heart, basically, there's not going to be loss of life, but you're going to lose your ship. And we're going to, you know, they had a pretty rough go of it because they went without food. They were in darkness. It was just a mess. The ship did run aground. So keep that in mind. It says, so when they come to this place, when all that drama was over of going through the storm and the whole really extremely scary part where they thought they were going to lose their lives and the storm and you know, the ship being thrown around and all this stuff, it says in verse 28, in verse 1, it says, now when they had escaped, so basically the ship ran aground and the guards wanted to kill the prisoners so that they didn't escape. But there was one centurion, one guard, who said, because of Paul, said, we don't want to kill them. And so he convinced them not to do that and let everybody try to make it to shore. It says, now when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. So ship ran aground close to this island. They all go to the island, some of them on board, some of them swimming, whatever they could find to get there. It says in verse 2, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging onto his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, and though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time, they saw that no harm came to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, I don't know how to pronounce that, but it says, who received the entire and entertained them courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed and laid hands on him, and he was healed. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island that had diseases also came and were healed. And it says in verse 10, so they honored us in many ways, and we departed, and they provided such things as were necessary. So I just want to paint a picture here. Jesus sets this thing in motion, gives the Great Commission to the apostles, and says, go and preach the gospel, and these signs will follow those who believe. He gives this charge, and it's a rebuke and a charge. And then way later, you know, a good while later, the Apostle Paul is shipwrecked on this island. Now picture this for just a moment. An island of natives, and they know that this shipwreck is basically a prison ship. These are prisoners. These are people who have committed crimes and murder and whatever else. Because they're not, if it was small stuff or light stuff, I'm just thinking out loud here, I would think that the local government would take care of that, and they wouldn't spend money to ship them all the way to Rome to see Caesar. So you got to think that, I'm thinking in my mind, this is like maximum security back in the day. You know, let's ship them to Rome to be dealt with because this is harsher stuff. And they wash up on this island, and it says that they showed them unusual kindness. Now, if the natives know what's going on, they know, they understand these things. They got to be in shackles, some of them, many of them. So they come up, there's centurion guards and Roman soldiers and all this stuff. So they know this. And they show them kindness. They start a fire for them to get them warm, and they take care of them. Now, if a prison bus wrecked out there of maximum security guys, just picture it for a minute. They shipwreck on their island at their home. It's an island. There's nowhere to go. And they show them unusual kindness. And they're sitting there thinking about this because it actually plays it out. The Apostle Paul grabs some of the wood, throws it in the fire, and gets bit by a snake that everyone sees. And they think in their mind and they say to each other, he must be a murderer. He escaped the sea, but justice is not going to let him live. Then when they see nothing happen, they go, he's a god. So the very things that Jesus said, he said they would pick up serpents and they would drink deadly things, is happening with the Apostle Paul right here in this story. He's on this island. He's bit by a snake. It does not harm him. It makes an impact on the natives. It's a key. It's one of those moments where they go, wait a minute, who is this guy? They're thinking he's a murderer until he's bit by a snake. Now, there are a lot of other things in my mind that I could think that would change my mind if I'm thinking somebody's a murderer. If they're in chains, if they just shipwrecked, or their bus just crashed in the parking lot and they're all, you know, chains, and the one that goes down to the feet that goes back up to the, you know, the serious chains where you know somebody's done something really bad. Those kind of things, and they got guards all around them. But he's bit by a snake and nothing happens, and they think, okay, he's a god. But he actually has God inside of him. And he's actually going and has been going just like the apostles were told to do. He was going before he was ever imprisoned and shipped to Rome, which he knew he was going to Rome. He knew he was supposed to go before Caesar. He knew that all that stuff was supposed to happen. But even before that, he was going and he was preaching the gospel, and the signs were following him. Even in the shipwreck and all of the difficulty, that could not have been a fun thing. They were in darkness with wind tossing them around. They went without food. It was cold. It was raining. They had to swim to an island. You know they're shackled. They had to be. Swimming in shackles, not light ones either, because back then they were iron and they were thick and they were heavy. That was not a fun picture. But yet they wash up on the shore, he's bit, then they take him back to the main guy's house on the island, and the Apostle Paul hears about his father, goes in, prays for him, he's healed. And then everybody who's sick on the island comes. And he prays for them and they get healed. He is still, even in the circumstance that is difficult, that is painful, that is hard, he is still sharing the gospel. He is still doing the work. Because why? These signs will follow those who believe. So we've got to ask ourselves the question, are these signs following us? And if they are not, then what are we not doing? Because we all know that God is in us, in this room. Everyone in this room, we all know that we have asked Jesus Christ to come into our hearts. So if the signs are not following, ask why. The There's only one other reason. It's whether or not we're stepping out to do something with it. Locally or abroad doesn't matter. What matters is, are you doing something with it? Are you praying in the Spirit? The number one way to stir up these things and see these gifts moving is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Just like Paula opened up the service and said, let's pray if you have your prayer language. If you don't have your prayer language, get it. Ask for it. Study on it. And then come ask. They laid hands on all through the book of Acts, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like we're baptized in water. We have a choice to make. We have a choice to follow Him. I do not want... You know, they were alive. They were sitting at the table. Jesus came in a resurrected body to them. And He says to them, He rebukes them. And He tells them these signs will follow those who believe. Now, you know, go and preach the gospel. These kind of times like this right here are the good times when we're encouraged and we're told the truth. And like Jesus did that, they were told what to do and they went and did it. And we have a choice. We get to choose whether or not we're going to share our testimony or the gospel. We're going to share that with another person, another human being, a neighbor, a friend, someone in the supermarket, whatever it is. Whether it's in another nation or our own backyard, it needs to be both. But whatever, doesn't matter. What matters is, are we doing the stuff? And are those signs following? Is if we do the stuff, the signs will follow. If we obey His voice, the signs will follow those who believe. The Apostle Paul went on to Rome, but I got to think that even with the detours in life, if I'm doing what God told me to do, if I'm obedient to Him, if you're obedient to Him, that even with the difficult times and the detours and the things that don't make sense, the times when I say, God, I've done all I know to do, all I can do is stand right now. That's all I know to do, because I'm doing right. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm obeying You. This is difficult. This is hard. This is not fun. Just like the Apostle Paul, I'm doing it. You're doing it. That even in those detours and even in those painful times, it's still good. He is still good. God is still good. God still has a plan. He's still working that plan out. And as long as we're obedient to do the work of the gospel, whether it's praying for someone, whether it's sharing a testimony, whether it's living a life in front of people that is an example of Jesus Christ, that draws people to us because of Him in us. And we're not all in the flesh and getting angry and getting mad and doing things that are wrong or lying or cheating or stealing or off in sin somewhere, somehow. If we stay away from those things and we stay in the Holy Spirit and we stay connected to God and we continue to push forward in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around us, both in our local town and abroad and mid-county and beyond and whatever. If we're doing those things, it will work out. And these signs will continue to follow. In some of the most difficult times, some of the most amazing things happen. Is it difficult at the time that it's happening? Yes. Is it fun? No. But is it good? Oh, yeah. Because God is working on the backside and the front side. And He's doing things that are amazing. And we will come out of it in a good way. The one thing I don't want, and none of us in this room, and none of us, no person, no human being on this earth wants, is to get to heaven, to leave this earth and die, and stand before Jesus Christ, and like the Word says, we will be judged, and to get a rebuke then. Because then it's too late. And see, we make a choice every day. what we're going to do. We make a choice right here and right now what we're going to do. And that question and that rebuke, or, you know, him saying, well done, will happen. And I want to hear, well done. I do not want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. I do not, none of us want to be rebuked on that day. Because that day the rebuke doesn't come with a go in a good way. See, there's two different goes there. The apostles received a go and preach the gospel. And in that day, it's depart from me, I never knew you. That's go away. I don't want that. You don't want that. None of us want that. And none of us in this room are doing that. But search your heart, search your soul, search what you're doing, and ask the Holy Spirit today to show you and show me where we are. Where we are in our lives. What is your focus? What's the most important? Jamie shared about it too. And that word during worship. The treasure in the field. What is your treasure? You're selling something to buy something. Every one of us in this room are selling something. It's our time, our labor, to buy something. What are you buying? Are you seeking to buy the kingdom and the good things of God and to pursue Him and to fulfill whatever calling He has on your life and to make an impact in the earth for Him and secure His inheritance by leading other people to Jesus and seeing the sick healed and the dead raised? Is that your focus? Is that your treasure in the field? Or is it a paycheck? Or is it money in the bank? Or is it a bigger house? Or is it a nice car? There's a million things it can be, but there's one thing it should be. What is your treasure? Figure out what that is, and that will be your motivation to go and preach the gospel. Because you're going somewhere. The thing is where? We're all going somewhere. Every day's a step in whatever direction we're choosing to go. Choose today to make sure that your direction is towards the kingdom of heaven. And those of you that know, you know. You don't have to ask. I know I'm going for Jesus. I know I'm sold out. I know I'm on fire. I know I'm going after Him. There's no doubt. If there's a doubt there, you might want to check that out. You ever been driving and you see that light come on in your car? The red one? You know, my great uncle used to run a shop for like 50 years. He had a maintenance shop. And I took my truck into him one time, and I'm going to end here, but this truck had the yellow light on, which was just, I don't know, something goofy. Not a big deal. But he had actually fixed I'd brought the truck to him like several times. He had fixed everything. And I was in Bible college at the time, so he was fixing everything and making sure that I was going to be good to drive back and forth from North Carolina to Florida. But the light would never go off. And so this particular time, I come back and I look down and I didn't see the light. But there was a piece of black electrical tape over the light. And I said, "What is going? Did you fix the problem or just put a piece of tape over it?" He said, "I've been doing this for 50 years. And he said, "Those are dummy lights. By the time they come on, it's too late." There is a point where it's too late. But as long as we're breathing air, it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late to do the right thing. It's not too late to do what we're called to do. It's not too late to do anything as long as we're breathing air, as long as we're alive. Whether we're encouraged or rebuked, as long as we're alive, we have a choice of what to do with that. But if that light's on, might want to find out why. Now, he was 90 years old. So I'm thinking there was probably some little sensor or something that he didn't know about. But if there's a sensor going off in our lives, I think it needs to be investigated. I think we need to ask the Holy Spirit, what is that? Change that thing. Fix that thing. Fix whatever it is. Because on a car, on an engine, those sensors are there for a reason. And if they're going off, they're usually picking up something that's wrong. They're picking up that something's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So if you guys would stand, I want to just ask you, if you'd close your eyes for just a moment, and just ask the Holy Spirit, is there a light on? Is there something that you're doing or not doing? Is there a place in your heart or life? Are you going? Are you going? Are you sharing the gospel? Are those signs following you? Frequency and all that, that's not even a question. Just, are they following you? Is there an impact for Jesus in your life? Are the signs of the kingdom of God following your life? And if they're not, are there indicator lights going off? What are they? Ask the Holy Spirit. Not me, not Paula, not Jamie, not any person. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what that is and let Him fix it. Let Him deal with it. And then make a choice to get up and go. Fix and move whatever needs to be moved. And obey His voice. See, there are things in our lives that we settle with. We go, you know what? That's wrong, but I'm just going to leave it be. I'm going to settle with this. I'm going to settle and let this be. Those are the things that cause us not to go. Those are the things that stop us in our tracks. Those are the things that weigh us down. Those are the things that mess us up and trip us. You know, the Apostle Paul also said, run the race so as to win. Well, you can't run a race if you're dragging stuff behind you. You can't run it to win. You can run and drag the stuff, but you can't run it to win. Run the race so as to win. And so that's what we want to do today. We want to run the race so as to win. So ask the Holy Spirit in your life, and I'm asking Him in my life, what is it that's weighing me down? Anything that is there that's not supposed to be there, Holy Spirit, I ask you to remove it, move it out of the way. You, yourself, in your own words, ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. If something pops up, a light goes off, then say, Holy Spirit, Jesus, remove this from my life. I repent for whatever it is. Name it out. I'm not saying yell it out in the room, but speak it out. Say, remove this. I don't want it anymore. I don't want it in the way. I don't want to be sitting at the table when I'm supposed to be moving forward and going and sharing the gospel. But if there are things like that in our lives, we will not be sharing the gospel. We will not move forward. But you can move forward through any difficulty, including, like this example, a shipwreck, a horrible tragedy situation, where your life is on the line. You can move forward as long as those things, you get them out of the way and you go. Obey His voice. So Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to search our hearts and let us know how we can run faster. Show us what to move and remove so we can run faster. Those of us who aren't running, God, let us run fast. Let us choose today to run, to get up and to move forward. Move in our hearts and lives. God, right now I ask you to move, Holy Spirit, and do what you do. Move on us, God. Let our hearts be purified. Let us receive whatever it is you want to say right now, and let us move out of the way whatever needs to move and go after you, pursue you. In Jesus' name.